This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. Malaysia has formally ratified the International Labour Organization, or ILO's, Forced Labour Convention, also known as Protocol 29 or P29. We're the fifth country in the Asia Pacific and the second in Southeast Asia after Vietnam to do so.
And ILO defines forced labour as all work of service which is extracted from any person under the menace of any penalty and for which the said person has not offered himself voluntarily. And our Human Resources Minister, Dato Sri M. Saravanan, who was in Geneva to ratify this protocol, said that this would pave the way forward in advancing social justice and promoting decent work in our country. But what does ratification of P29 really entail, and what impact would it bring to the workforce in our country?
So for a better understanding of the implications of this historic move, we turn to Adrian Pereira, Director of North-South Initiative, for more details. Adrian, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Could we start with maybe getting an idea of the scale of forced labour in Malaysia? Which sectors do we see this issue especially rampant, and how much awareness is there of forced labour in the country?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. If you look at some of the global reports, for example, by the Americans, we are on tier 3 of the TIP report, trafficking in persons report. And actually, if I got into trouble a few days ago for saying that almost every sector has incidences of forced labour, and that's probably because the economy over the last 20 to 30 years has kind of become addicted to forced labor, migrant workers. But with international pressure and some policy makers who have started to understand the situation, there are some changes. But we still see certain sectors that are falling through the cracks. And one example is domestic workers in Malaysia, the agriculture sector, and also fisheries. These are sectors that we have not even scratch the surface.
Yeah, and Adrian, Malaysia became the second country in Southeast Asia after Vietnam to ratify P29. What's the significance of this move?
You see, Malaysia is a country of destination. And if you look at the other ASEAN countries, most of them have already taken progressive positions on labour migration, probably because many of them are country of origins. So they have that duty to, you know, to protect their foreign workers. So it is welcome, but within the ASEAN debate on labour migration, actually we are kind of late to the party, yeah, because there are so many other migrant-related debates, discussions, and even positions that you know, Malaysia didn't really take progressive positions on.
Yeah, so in terms of the significance, Adrian, you know, does this offer give more protection to workers? Does it put some more legal burdens on you know, both private and public sectors? P29.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a win-win situation because in the long term, Malaysia has to let go of its addiction towards low wage and low skill foreign workers. And this is a good opportunity to break out of that cycle and go into high value production, tech driven manufacturing, for example. So this is a good time to start. In fact, the Dewan Rakyat already approved certain amendments which are related to forced labour. It's really exciting times. What would be interesting is to see how the different enforcement agencies are now going to interpret the protocol and apply it at the local level in collaboration with the grassroots. Now, the good thing about the current minister is trying to do is he's trying to help us understand what forced labour is and define it in a very specific way according to the law. So it's going to be a top-down process which needs to be monitored. And hopefully the signing of this protocol will help survivors and victims have a better chance in achieving justice.
But definition aside, what are the exact policies or preventive measures that you would like to see being implemented against forced labor?
Yeah, so the non-victimization of survivors and victims of forced labor, that is something that has been a challenge because the mechanics for a survivor or victim to access justice has been missing. Now, the signing of the protocol and the amendments in the Dewan Rakyat gives a bit more space for us to have that conversation. Of course, the anti-trafficking law had already been amended. Mm. So we can clearly see that there are some efforts to bring reforms, but it's a bit too early to celebrate. Yeah.
Mm. You mentioned that the current minister is looking to, I suppose, create that awareness from the top down in terms of what forced labor looks like. Do you foresee any legislative changes that need to happen in order to comply with Protocol 29?
Yes, a bit on the definition itself. That has been debated in Parliament. So we need to wait for the next steps until it's gazetted before we can actually see what are the follow-up regulations to the amendments. But unfortunately for the, there was something that the domestic workers movement is not so happy where the term domestic helper has been changed to domestic worker, but we are not sure about the protections that come with the name change, or whether it's seen on equal standards of protections with the other workers. So that is still being monitored. But what employers in Malaysia will have to do now is they will need to understand, educate themselves, their middle managers, the supervisors, on what is actually forced labor. So in the practical sense, they need to stop certain exploitative practices, and it can be a win-win solution if we work this out properly.
Yeah, I mean, of course, policy would be the most effective measure because then you follow the letter of the law essentially. But what are the key obstacles that you foresee might prevent policy, clarity and policy to be implemented?
Yeah, so in the supply chain, especially in the COVID recovery times, a lot of manufacturers and different industries are now racing to catch up on what was lost in the last 1 to 2 years. So in that rush, they may not take the laws and the enforcement very seriously. And that really needs partnerships. It needs good labor inspectors to understand what forced labor is and then ensure that it is not, that the abuse doesn't continue because we are still being monitored and our laws and regulations and enforcement has to catch up with the global supply chain debates and remedies. Mm. For example, the Europeans are also looking at these protections within their supply chains, and sooner or later, they will also have laws like what the Americans and the Canadians have. Yeah.
Speaking of that, so, I mean, other than the ratification of P29 and also, in our country doing all these legislation moves and all that, what about the source country of these forced laborers? What do you think they should do or how should we work with them to tackle the situation?
Yeah, so one of the big challenges in tackling forced labor and trafficking is the recruitment practices. So while the ILO has set a high standard of zero recruitment fees for the workers, we find different governments of countries of origin also struggling with this because there are so many labor agents, there are sub-agents who are manipulating and putting workers in forced labor conditions way before they even come to Malaysia. And some of the employers here feel that it's unfair that the burden now falls on them. But then again, this has to be a joint effort to ensure that there are fair recruiters available across the board. The industries have to collaborate. So you then weed out all the exploitative recruiters. And this is a challenge.
Adrian, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Adrian Pereira, director of the North-South Initiative, breaking down for us what the implications of Malaysia ratifying the Protocol 29 of the ILO are all about, saying it's a good step forward in the to combat forced labour, but many more measures still need to be taken.
Yeah, I think the key silver lining to this is the fact that we might see an impetus towards removing these intermediaries, these labour...
The middlemen.
The middlemen who get paid these exorbitant fees for essentially doing nothing. And that's one of Malaysia's banes, isn't it? This middleman mentality where huge profits are being made without any benefit to the industry.
And this issue is serious. We have seen several Malaysian companies caught in the crosshairs of international agreements when, you know, these labour practices are brought into question. So hopefully we'll see more action from policymakers and stakeholders on this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.